doing a breakdown of pre-July 4th, post-July 4th. What are we seeing in this market trade, and what does it mean long-term for the rest of this growing season? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And, you know, it seems like the markets do have that pre and post when they're factoring in what we're going to see for the trade. So what are you seeing when you look at the flip side of the coin on each day of the 4th?
It makes it a lot harder this year than it does normal July 4th, Susan, as far as pulling triggers for clients and subscribers on price weakness post July 4th, because we weren't really trading weather heading into July 4th, and we really aren't trading weather except maybe the idea because of the crop conditions coming out Monday afternoon in corn, seeing another big increase as far as versus last year. That same increase in good to excellent of 74% versus 68% good to excellent in corn. That big increase difference between this year and last year, maybe the trade's trying to price in here as we close out Tuesday's session, the idea of a big crop getting bigger. But if you kind of rewind to last Thursday's trade, we were talking about tariffs and trade deals and also the big, beautiful bill getting passed. And between the Vietnam trade deal and the BBB getting passed, we saw a real lift in this market, and the trade was getting up to weekly plus highs. We come back, and by Tuesday in the morning, we've essentially erased all of the gains. We're right back to the end of June, early July lows, corn in December taking that low out, beans within about a penny of that low. And I think this is really going back to the tariffs on Japan and South Korea, them being, you know, roughly 20% corn, 20% goes to Japan, 5% goes to South Korea. So those two countries being 25% of our corn exports, it's pretty clear between that and a lack of a deal with India and talk that India being part of the BRICS is going to get an additional 10% tariff put on Monday's trade. This market, I think, is really starting to wonder whether we're going to lose a lot of corn demand. Even though we saw a lot of corn go out the door again on Tuesday to Mexico, and on Monday's weekly export inspections, we did another 1.4, 1.5 million metric ton export week. And we're still double in terms of what the USDA expects for the marketing year. We're up 30% on corn exports, in other words, for the marketing year and inspections. USDA has got us up 15-16%.
You know, I find it interesting too, that little clause, and I think you and I talked about this briefly last week, that is in there when we look at this, these agreements saying, hey, if you're going to be selling to somebody like China, for example, we're going to add an additional tariff onto that. Don't be the go-between for that country.
Yes, I think that is a huge piece of the puzzle, because I've always felt as though that we can lose China, but if we get India, that would actually be better for the United States ag sector, because China's already kind of made their bed and they're starting to lay in it, as the old saying goes, in terms of diversifying their agriculture exports, or excuse me, imports where they can, and especially in the meats and in the grains. And obviously South America is the number one place. Japan and South Korea, a little bit harder to swallow that, because I think the trade in general, while we weren't pricing any kind of premium in this market, and I think now we're actually at a discount with September futures going below $4 a bushel, and we're probably going too low now at this point, in other words, the trade was not, I don't think, expecting to lose China, Japan, and South Korea and not get India. And so I hate to think what the price action may be like right now had we not gotten Vietnam before the holiday trade.
On the livestock side, and it kind of does come back to corn, there's a strong tie once again between the way the corn is trading and the way we see feeders moving.
That's an excellent point, and I think this is a really big time period for us to study the livestock market and what's happening between livestock and grains. And you're exactly right. These new all-time highs in the feeders, once again, for a second day in a row, I think it's pretty clear, and there's very little argument being helped immensely by the new lows in the corn. So that tie-in between the funds being long feeders, short corn, still very much a big issue and probably going to be a very big issue as we get towards the second half of the calendar year or towards the fall time period when, if corn doesn't bottom before then, feeders will probably have to find some long liquidation by funds if corn does bottom around harvest. The other interesting thing, too, that you bring up here, Susan, is in this market with the beef side of the equation. When it comes to South Korea and Japan, we're talking about almost $4 billion of U.S. exports. They're the number one, number two U.S. beef buyers, but the trade could care less about that right now. Totally opposite mindset and completely skimming over the fact that Japan and South Korea have higher tariffs. And I think the simple answer there is, why would that be? And I think the simple answer is, it's because we just don't have the supplies in the world that South Korea and Japan can probably replace with the U.S. product, whereas the trade thinks in the grains, they will be able to find a replacement and a substitute.
Wanted to ask you quickly as we wrap this up, talking about pork, because they've just had some struggles and continue to do so. Demand, there's just some uncertainty that's within this trade. What is your takeaway as to what we see moving?
Well, I think this is still going back to China versus a relatively tight supply of meats in the United States domestic market. And I think pork is winning the summer grilling season war right now, especially in the loins and in the ribs. And I think that's going to keep the market underpinned. But to go higher than we've already been, I think you're going to really need the help of the cutout. And that cutout seems to be wanting to find a sideways to lower price action. Not unusual, given the fact that we're past the 4th of July. I would probably look at another 20, 30 days at maybe the cutout and the carcass coming back around and supporting the hog complex.
All right. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzulo joining us today. Quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. Breaking down the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.